Stillman and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5 The Game. How about the Predators last night against Chicago? Taking care of business. Caroline Fenton, you were there at the game last night. Joe Rexroad was at the game last night. Ryan Porth was at the game last night. Chase McCabe at the game last night. They got us a suite last night. We were very thankful for that.
It was very nice.
It was very nice. And I will have to give it. You guys think I give Joe a hard time. His son, boy, he was giving Joe the business, as Joe needs. But not only was Joe getting the business last night, the Predators were giving the business to the Chicago Blackhawks. I watched last night's game, and I tweeted this out. And I'm not much of a video game player. I used to be when I was like a kid. When I was 15, 16 years old, I used to play the football video game, Madden, all the time. And this was back in the good days of NCAA football. I used to play that, and I used to play the baseball game. That's it. I wasn't like a World of Warcraft or a, Ian, what do those kids play now? Fortnite. I wasn't, you know, any of that stuff or whatever. But I played video games. And one thing I always learned was when you turned up the difficulty, it got really hard really quickly. And I tweeted out last night and I said, it feels like the Predators are the same team that played Thursday and Saturday night at Carolina, but they lowered the difficulty setting on the video game. That's what it felt like watching them play Chicago. And it was good that they took care of business. It was good that they kept pace with Dallas, who pulled a victory out of their rear ends against Detroit in a shootout last night. The Predators are still in the lead in that playoff spot that is also coveted. But the one thing that bothers me is we talked about this last week, and I said I felt pretty confident that if the Nashville Predators and the NHL Central Division were the SEC East, the Predators would be Kentucky football. Right now, you look in the SEC East, Vanderbilt's not very good, Tennessee's not very good, South Carolina just fired their coach, they're not very good, and Missouri's not very good. Florida and Georgia are national title contenders on a yearly basis, but the other teams aren't very good. Right now in the Central Division, the Columbus Blue Jackets are not very good. The Detroit Red Wings are not very good. The Chicago Blackhawks are not very good. The Dallas Stars have their issues as well. And then there's Florida, Carolina, and Tampa Bay. Carolina and Tampa Bay, who like Florida and Georgia, are probably Stanley Cup contenders. After those two games with Carolina, and I heard on the post-game show, Chris Mason said it both nights, Hal Gill said it both nights, Crispy said it on our show Thursday before the game, you got to tip your cap to Carolina. And after watching them, I'm convinced they're a Stanley Cup contender. So how does that make us feel? How does that make us think about last night's game? Everything they needed to do last night, they did. Matt Duchene scored. They got scoring across multiple lines. They were more physical than the Blackhawks. They were better in net than the Blackhawks. They were more disciplined at times than the Blackhawks. They did what they needed to do. But yet, when you compare it with the Carolina series, how does it make you feel? How does it ultimately make you feel when all is said and done? Is the excitement of the chase what really matters? The excitement of every game down the stretch this year is going to matter, especially if they keep beating the Chicago Blackhawks. If they beat them tomorrow and they beat them on Friday, then you really are coming to a head with Dallas when you play them on May 1st. But I still kind of look at Carolina and I still kind of look at Tampa Bay when Andre Vasilevskiy is in net. And I still kind of feel somewhat empty. I hope I'm wrong. There are a lot of people that listen to me that don't like me who love to harpen back to 2017 when I didn't think the Predators could beat the Chicago Blackhawks in a playoff series. I sat in the office at Bridgestone Arena in a meeting with my bosses and the brass of the Predators, and I said, I don't think you guys can beat Chicago. Sean Henry stood up in that meeting, president and CEO of the Predators, stood up in that meeting and said, we want Chicago. I don't know what the saying is in the office right now with Tampa Bay and Carolina, but I keep looking at this, and there's no harm in being Kentucky football because I don't think Kentucky football fans look at a national championship and say, yeah, that's really in our grasp. I think they would love to beat Georgia. I think they would love to beat Florida. But the standards that they have for their basketball program, they don't have for their football program. And for good reason. But is that how we feel about the Predators this year? 8-4 going to a bowl game? Way to go. Is that how we feel? And when I ask that question, I'm not asking it with this sense of entitlement or telling you that we shouldn't feel that way. I'm not saying this saying, hey, making the playoffs and losing to Carolina in 5 or 6 games, that's a bad season. I'm not saying that. I'm asking you because it's your team. But last night, I think it affirmed the discussion that we had on the trade deadline day. The last 5 games, I think, have told us all we need to know about the Predators. Are they going to make the playoffs? I don't know. But are they contenders in this division? No. Do they have a shot to beat Carolina or Tampa Bay? Probably not. But can they make the playoffs? Yeah, I think they can make the playoffs. I mean, we will have. I am not knocking. I mean, I'm still watching every game. I'm still going to the games like I did last night. I'm still into this. But I think I keep asking the question, what do you want? What do you think when you watch that game last night? And that's a question for the fans. Caroline, you watched that game last night. You know all about the SEC. We talked about this yesterday when you said, what are things they need to see against Chicago that they didn't do against Carolina? And I asked you as an LSU fan, well, I mean, would you say that after you lose to Alabama? Hey, what do we need to do this week against Ole Miss? Probably not. I mean, they did what they couldn't do against Carolina. They got the puck in Chicago's zone. They put the puck in the net. They couldn't do either in those 2 games at Carolina. But it still kind of has a hollow feeling. And maybe I'm spoiled. Maybe there's like a sense of after the 2017 playoffs, after the 2018 President's Trophy, after all the talk in 2019, that there's like some entitlement that the Predators should be cup contenders, and if they're not, it's bad. Now, look, pro sports, it's not college football. The New England Patriots aren't going to be good for forever. Neither are the Kansas City Chiefs. But it just feels like watching the game last night, I enjoyed it. I had a great time at the game. I thought they played hard. I think they're doing what they should do. I just don't think they can compete at the top level, and so it kind of dampens my feelings towards a win like last night.
And I think it answered a lot of our questions that we had about this team of just exactly how good are they? Because we weren't really sure. They were winning all of these games. They beat Tampa Bay. We didn't really know exactly what their ceiling was, but I think we found that against Carolina. And yes, while the game last night was incredibly exciting and it shouldn't take away from anything, we learned that, okay, the Predators can beat Chicago. The Predators can beat Detroit. They can beat Columbus. They can beat a Vasilevsky-less Tampa Bay.
Curtis McElhinney, they can beat him.
Yes. They cannot beat the Carolina Hurricanes, and they cannot beat Tampa Bay, most likely, with their number one goaltender in net. So we learned what they are, and that's not a bad thing. But it just moving forward, it gives me a little bit of clarity of exactly what to expect from this team. And I expect them to make the playoffs. But if they do face Carolina in the playoffs, I do not expect them to make it past the first round.
Okay, so that's how we're starting this hour. 615-737-1025. For this season, is Kentucky football good enough? The Kentucky football metaphor. And I know that it sounds, let me just state for the record as we're talking about Kentucky football, I am not saying that historically the Predators are going to beat Kentucky football. I just don't believe in that in pro sports. Like, Alabama's going to be good at football for forever. But that's not how pro sports work. So, I'm talking about like the 2020, 2019, the SEC East, as is constructed today. Vanderbilt's terrible. Tennessee's terrible. Missouri's not good. South Carolina's terrible. And then there's Florida and Georgia. And I look at the Predators and where they sit right now, and I say, Carolina and Tampa Bay are up here. I mean, they are really up here. Those two, Colorado, I mean, they are up there at the top. Then there's you. And I think the perfect thing is we said after the Dallas game when they won in another shootout, we said, hey, you are that even with Dallas. You are that even. So how do you feel about it? 615-737-1025. We'll get to your calls. We'll get to your text next. Your thoughts on the game last night and your thoughts on this team as a whole. 615-737-1025. Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. We're live from the wholesaling studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. By the way, I believe both Robbie and Joe hit their picks to click yesterday, but I could be wrong. I know Joe hit his because we were up
Joe in the suite. Yeah, it was Granlund, and then I believe Robbie picked Kelly Yarncroke.
Maybe. Tune in to Robbie and Rex Road every weekday morning at 8:45 when the Predators have a weekday game this season for your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click. You can win a prize pack brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. Your next chance to participate is tomorrow morning. Stillman & Company, Caroline Fenton, Ian's here. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Predators flip the puck down. Trennan goes after it. Down the right board, 4 seconds. Flips it out in front for Sissons. And then Sissons couldn't bury the rebound of his own shot. But the Predators win round one of this three-round battle this week against the Chicago Blackhawks. The final. Predators 5, Blackhawks 2.
Mikhail, we've been pumping up this three-game set for a few days now. How excited about are you of your ability to play up to the moment?
I mean, we were ready to play, and we got the first win of these three games, and that's it. Up to the next one.
That was Mikhail Granlund last night. The Predators, as Pete Weber said right there, they take game one of a three-game series. I will say this. Like, I kind of, you know, the Predators have been so into the playoffs for the last handful of years. Like, every year they were in. Now, last year there was a little bit of a chase towards the end, and then everything shut down. It is fun to know that tomorrow's Wednesday night regular season game holds a ton of weight. It's also nice that we'll be off at 5 o'clock because the game starts at 6. But what do you think of the analogy that I've made to Kentucky football?
I think it makes sense because Kentucky's good once every few years. You know, they're not the best team. If they play Alabama, they're not going to beat Alabama. They're not going to beat Georgia. They're not going to beat Florida. But they'll beat South Carolina. They'll beat Tennessee. Their quarterback may throw three interceptions against Kentucky. I think it makes sense. You're a middle of the road team. You're good, but you're not the best. You're not in the upper tier of teams.
A couple years ago, Kentucky had a game with Georgia, and I want to say it was like in November or October, where if Kentucky had won, it was in Lexington. If Kentucky had won, they would have won the East. And it was a big game, and CBS, I mean, when does CBS go to Lexington? So CBS is doing the game, and Kentucky didn't get blown out by Georgia, but Georgia made sure they knew who was daddy. And that's what I felt about Carolina this weekend. I'm excited about the playoff chase. I am. And there are a lot of people that will say, hey, anything about the if there's anything that we've learned over the last 5 years about the Stanley Cup playoffs, is anything can happen once you get into the Stanley Cup playoffs. Now, I'm not a huge believer in that because I think these teams are really freaking good. And the fourth seed, in this case, the Predators, if it's them, you got to go through both of them. Like, you got to go through Carolina first, and then you got to go through Tampa Bay. This isn't like 2017 when you went through the Chicago Blackhawks, then you got the St. Louis Blues. I mean, this is, you may be going up against the two best teams in the league in order to get out of the division. So it's just weird. It's just different in that regard for the Predators. But it's exciting. They're playing hard. They're playing great. The coach is doing an excellent job. The young players look like they're earning their keep. We're starting to see some of the role players come on. I mean, this has been a productive season for the Predators, even if they get washed out by Carolina or Tampa in the first round. Let's go to your phones. 615-737-1025. Phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. By the way, somebody texted me and said, don't forget about the Florida Panthers. They can really play. And I said, the Florida Panthers are like the 2019 Auburn Tigers. They're there, but they ain't Alabama with Tua, and they ain't LSU with Joe Burrow. Carolina, Tampa Bay, that's Alabama and LSU a couple years ago. That's Florida and Georgia just on top of the East.
Yeah, I think you can make an argument that Carolina or Tampa Bay is number one or number two. You can make an argument for both.
Oh, but yeah, they Florida played last night.
Yeah, Florida is very much so that third tier.
Oh, yes. Very
that
much so.
Third position, yes. In that first tier.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Let's go. And hey, they may win the division. So, but yes, you're right. Scott is going to kick us off this hour on the Preds. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Scott.
Thanks for getting to me, Jared. I hate the Kentucky football analogy is just terrible. It makes no sense. But before I get to that, I can tell you why. But let me ask you a quick question first. Did you think the Titans, heading into last season, did you think the Titans were going to win the Super Bowl?
Going into the 2020 season?
Yes.
I thought they were contenders.
Yeah, that's not the way I remember it. But when it was clear that they weren't at the same level of the Chiefs, why weren't you advocating for them trading Jayon Brown and trading Corey Davis for draft picks?
Because it was after the trade deadline. Because it was after the trade deadline. The moment that I – and you can go back and look through all the logs. When they lost to the Green Bay Packers on December 27th and got embarrassed after they had been beaten by the Cleveland Browns a couple of weeks before, I said they're pretenders. They're not contenders. At that point, you can't trade Corey Davis. You can't trade Jayon Brown. You can't trade those guys. But I knew then that they were pretenders.
Like you said, the point is to get into the playoffs and then anything can happen. Take 2020 and the bubble out of it. In 2019, both number eights beat both number ones in the East and the West. And the Blue Jackets swept the Lightning. So it's something that happens a lot more frequently in hockey than it does in football, and it happens a lot more in college sports. This Kentucky analogy, Kentucky and Georgia don't even pull from the same pool of players. If this was Kentucky and Georgia, the Predators would have nothing but fourth-round picks and lower, and Tampa Bay and Carolina would have nothing but first and second-round picks.
Do you know who leads the Predators in goals? Saros and Rene would be the backup to Vasilevsky if
Tampa were Georgia.
Scott, I'm not going to keep talking over you. Do you know who leads the Predators in goals?
Yarncroak.
Okay.
Do you know why that is?
Would you ever consider
Do you know why Yarncroak leads the Predators in goals?
I let you talk. Now I'm going to talk, and then I'll let you respond.
Okay.
Would you ever consider Cali Yarncroak the type of player that Tampa Bay runs out there as their leading goal scorers, or that Carolina threw out there the other day like Sebastian Aho? No.
Well, if Aho had missed half the season, possibly, yeah. You know, Stamkos, you would think, would be the Lightning's or Kucherov, but when they're not playing, it has to fall to somebody else. So kudos for the Predators guys like Granlund and like Yarncroak for stepping up. When I saw these last few games, what I thought, to answer your question from a while ago, is how much better is the power play going to be when we finally get Forsberg and Tolvanen back? We might be able to score on some of these teams.
So
that was my thought.
Scott, I don't disagree with that. I appreciate your call. You got a lot better chance of scoring on the power play when Elie Tolvanen's back in there. You got a much better chance of scoring on the power play when Philip Forsberg's back in there. But to go back to the Kentucky football analogy, like, how does Kentucky win games in the SEC? Kentucky does not recruit the same player as Alabama. Yes. Now, I mean, every now and then, Kentucky might get a kid that Alabama wanted, like Drake Jackson, the center that's going to go into the NFL. Alabama wanted him. Matt Elam, I think he ate his way out of the SEC, but he picked Kentucky over Alabama a handful of years ago. You know, they were right there neck and neck for Damian Harris when Damian Harris went to Alabama. But Kentucky doesn't have the same player that Alabama or Georgia has, or Florida or whatever. But they don't even have the same kind of player Tennessee has. But what happens is Mark Stoops, I think, has done a pretty good job at Kentucky of coaching those guys up. And Cali Yarncroak and Mikhail Granlund and those guys are playing really well right now. Granlund is playing better than he is. Yarncroak is playing better than he has played for the majority of his career. And that's good. But I think we learned this weekend that when you go in and you play that kind of team, the Carolina Hurricanes, like you got to have Ryan Johansson outplay Jonathan Toews in 2017. Ryan Johansson's not outplaying a number one center right now in the NHL. That's the difference. Now, again, you can put in your back pocket, and a lot of people do, the, hey, in the playoffs, anything can happen. But I guess I'm just calling it how I see it, which is I just don't think the Predators match up well with these teams. It's not a huge knock on the Predators. I think a lot of this is kind of tipping your cap at how good those teams are, because those teams can play. What's in our text line, Caroline?
And to the caller's point, he's right that anything can happen in the playoffs, but just based off of the information that we have now, the Predators aren't going to beat the Hurricanes in the playoffs.
Sure.
But that doesn't mean that it couldn't happen. It very much so could happen. One Texter says, okay, cool, the Preds can beat the Blackhawks, but if you can't beat a top 10 team, then how good do you really feel about their playoff chances?
I think I've been pretty obvious in how I feel about the Predators' playoff chances. I mean, I don't want to sit here and knock about it. I mean, I think the goal right now is just to make the playoffs. I mean, I think that's all we can really care about. I mean, look, this has been fun. It's going to be fun. Like last night, up in that suite at the game, Ryan Porth busts out the phone. He's got the NHL package, and he puts on the shootout, the Dallas-Detroit shootout. I mean, we're scoreboard watching up there. We're watching that game, and we're watching this game. That's the fun of a playoff chase. But if you're asking about playoff chase, you know, in terms of what are you know, talking about what the texture said, what are our chances of winning in the playoffs again? Like, let's be realistic about what we saw from Carolina this weekend. They're freaking good. Let's be realistic about Tampa Bay. They're freaking good. And not only that, Tampa Bay's the last team that I think you could pull the upset on in a first round because it already happened to them, and they're not going to let it happen again.
And we mentioned Tolvanen and Forsberg coming back and how important it is to get that power play back where it was. Do you think with Tolvanen and Forsberg back in the lineup, would that be enough to compete with Carolina in a playoff series, kind of going off of one of the Texter's questions?
No, but I will say this. I saw the Predators tweet out today that Elie Tolvanen is day-to-day, which is down from week-to-week. David Poile was on the midday show today, and he wouldn't say anything, you know, specific, but he said there may be some guys that come back at the end of the week. Clearly, it feels like Tolvanen is one of those guys that may come back at the end of the week, and yes, I think you're a better team with him on it. But I do think there's a lot of injury crutching that's going on right now. And I hate to break it to you, but the way it looks like it's gone this season is one guy goes out, one guy comes in. As soon as the guy comes back in, somebody goes out. You know, when's Carrier come back? That's a big deal, getting Alexander Carrier back. When's Tolvanen come back? When's Forsberg come back? You know, so if you put a fully healthy roster out there, that'd be great. But this is not a utopian society. The Predators got to the Stanley Cup final without Mike Fisher and without Ryan Johansson. You're going to absorb injuries throughout the course of a playoff run. You're going to have to overcome it. They beat Chicago in the first round with goals from Kevin Fiala, with goals from Harry Zolnerchuk, Pontus Aberg, Colton Sissons. That's what they're going to have this year if they're going to knock off a team like Carolina. And that's a really, really big 615-737-1025. There was one big development in last night's game that I am definitely keeping my eye on. I want to touch on that next. Plus, David Poile said something on the midday show, and then I think he kind of stopped himself, and then I think it was very interesting. We will touch on that as well. 615-737-1025, your number for your Preds thoughts. Get them in. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Those guys are proud supporters of the Nashville Predators. I absolutely love Hiller. They do a fantastic job. I know this because I use Hiller at my home, and I'm telling you that they are so easy. Today, I actually had to book an appointment on something, and it was something that Hiller sent me an email back. As soon as I hit it, Hiller sent me an email back, and they detailed out questions. I got it right back. Boom, time right in there. They also want to send you on vacation. With the purchase of a new whole home generator or select new HVAC systems, Hiller is giving you a free week-long vacation. With every purchase of a new tankless water heater, Hiller is giving you a free weekend-long vacation, and they'll pay for your gas with a $100 gas card. Choose from over 400 Marriott, Wyndham, Hilton, or Hyatt hotel properties. You got to take advantage of this unbelievable deal while you can. These deals are only available for a limited time, so make sure you schedule today. HappyHiller.com for all the details. As always, happy you will be, or the service is free. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, proud supporters of the Tennessee Volunteers and your Nashville Predators. Hiller, call the Happy Face Truck today.
Predators across the Chicago line, curling their Josi down toward the right wing corner. Centered now and fed back out for Josi at the blue line. Left circle, he went. That shot in the net. It may have been tipped. And the Predators are on the board at 6:22.
Well, good movement. They battle for the puck in the corner. Up to Josi, over to Benning. Benning shoots it, and there's a high tip there from Eric Howla. Tip it just inside the post.
And it was a high tip, and somehow Matt Duchene got his stick on the puck, and Matt Duchesne scored yesterday. Caroline Fenton, what do we think of that? After we've been talking about Matt Duchesne and the fans have just been giving Duchesne the business, what did you think about that?
I thought that was Matt Duchesne being like, oh, okay, you're giving up on me? Really? Okay, well, here you go. And yesterday I said I needed to see some sort of production from Matt Duchesne and in these three games in this series. And that was exactly what I needed to see. Not necessarily a goal. I didn't need to see a goal, but just some serious production out there. And a goal definitely puts the cap on that.
So I think it's hard. You know, it's like in football. I think it's hard to sit there and talk about somebody as a good defensive lineman if they don't get sacks. You know, the coordinator can come out and he can say, hey, you don't understand the play calls. You don't understand the responsibility in what we're asking him to do. You don't understand. You don't. And it's happened before. I mean, Dean Pease went nuts one time. I asked him about Daquan Jones and Austin Johnson and how they don't get sacks. And Dean Pease went nuts about, no, you don't understand what they're being asked to do. And hockey is obviously the same way. But ultimately, unless your name is Jadeveon Clowney, everybody expects to see some sort of results. Matt Duchesne has to score goals. I'm sorry. Like, when you were paid all the money and there was all the hype, even though there were people that were throwing up the warning sign saying, hey, he's not worth all this money, he's not worth all this hype, it still kind of matters. And you got to eventually get in the score sheet. I believe in Matt Duchesne a little bit. Here's what I believe in. I believe that Matt Duchesne is willing to give his all for the Nashville Predators. I mean, I think Matt Duchesne, at the end of the day, and I don't know Matt Duchesne, but I feel like Matt Duchesne cares about the hockey club. He cares about living up to his end of the bargain. He cares about what the team is asking of him. He cares about providing for the fans who initially were cheering him on. I think he cares a lot. Like, it means a lot to him. He's not. You know, no, and I'm not throwing Ryan Johansson completely under the bus here. But, I mean, there have been effort questions that have surrounded Ryan Johansson. I don't think that about Matt Duchesne. But you can't undo the hype. You can't undo the David Poyle insufferable years of chasing after Matt Duchesne like he did. And when you don't produce, again, unless your name is Clowney, when you don't produce, the angst that comes from it is almost too much. And I think Duchesne has felt that pressure. I think he has felt that angst. And I was worried that, hey, if he doesn't come through now, the fans are already kind of one foot out. But then the team, I think, is really going to struggle with, hey, man, you're not doing your job. I know you're trying, but you're not doing your job. And I have always believed, I talked to Crispy about this, we've talked about this on the air, mm-hmm. I have always believed that Matt Duchesne is a better hockey player than what he was in the first year and a half with the Predators. He's a better hockey player than the guy who falls offside and cost you a playoff game last year. He's a better player than that. I have always believed that. It's like I was telling Adam Vingan a couple of weeks ago. People love to take a hot streak, like what Granlund's doing now or what Yarncroke's doing now. They love to take that, and they love to sit back, and they love to say, see, this is Cali Yarncroke. And I'm like, look, we've seen 6 years of Cali Yarncroke. I like Cali Yarncroke, but leading the team in goals is not what Cali Yarncroke is. He's not as good as he's playing right now. Matt Duchesne, I told Adam, he's not as bad as what he's been so far. I believe he's a better player. Do I think he's a core piece of this team? I don't know. Like, can he really be that way? We certainly need to lower our expectations than what were sold to us about him. But I still think he can be a valuable part of the hockey club. I really do. And I just feel like last night was a step in the right direction for him. We need more consistency. We need more goals. We need assists. We need him to prop other guys up. We need all of it. But I thought last night was a step in the right direction. The other thing on the Duchesne front, Corey Curtis and I talked about this on Friday. And it is that Matt Duchesne, this may be his last chance, but Adam Vingan broke it down on the midday show. You might not be able to get rid of Matt Duchesne. Adam Vingan explained it in his head about people like I said on Friday, I think this is Duchesne's last chance. And I hope that Duchesne makes the most of this last chance, and then he's on this team for years to come. But Adam brought it up. Here's what Adam said as far as Matt Duchesne and possibly moving on from him at the end of the year.
I can't find a solution to the Matt Duchesne quote-unquote problem, because no one's going to want to trade for him. If you try to dump him to Seattle in expansion, you're going to come out on the wrong end of that. You know, no, you're not going to buy him out. So the thing that you have to do is you're going to have to suck it up and try to find a place for him to fit. And right now, with Granlin playing the way that he's been playing, second line center is taken. You know, so maybe you move him up to second line right wing. Who knows? But I mean, I see your point there, and I really do. There's no simple solution. You know, with Kyle Turris, you knew that the buyout was the last resort, and that's what they ended up having to do. I just don't think you can swallow another buyout right now. That would look really bad.
And so here they are on the Matt Duchesne front. Adam may be right. There may not be anything they can do. I still think somebody looking to upgrade will take a bite on Matt Duchesne because they'll say, hey, Nashville screwed him up. But Adam brings up an interesting point. So what do you think of that? We'll get to your thoughts on it next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Plus, what David Poyle said today that maybe gives us a little insight. We're going to read between the lines on this text. Stillman & Company, we are delivered by TriStar Moving right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Streaming live on Periscope, Twitch, YouTube, Twitter. Just go to my Twitter, at Jared Stillman. Go to Caroline's Twitter, which I don't know off the top of my head. But
at @CarolineFenton1.
That, go ahead and do that. Plus, we're giving away something in the next segment, so be listening for that as well. Stillman & Company, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app. Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. We got a ton of Preds reaction to get to. We've been kind of all over the Preds. Big win last night. Big game tomorrow night. But there is one thing, Caroline Fenton, today. You know, the general manager, David Poyle, goes on the midday show every week. And I think he does, you know, he is as candid as a general manager can possibly be. You know, if the Titans offered us to have John Robinson on the show weekly, obviously we'd probably say yes. But I'm not sure John would say much. I give David credit, because even though I'm not the biggest David supporter in the world right now, I at least appreciate the fact that, hey, you know, for the most part, he answers as honestly as he can. He is very candid. So today I was working out, listening to David Poyle on the Midday Show, just saying, oh, you know, let's see if there's anything here that's, you know, of newsworthiness. And I heard him say something, and then as I listened to it, I kind of thought maybe he brought it back a little bit and kind of maybe gave a hint about something. And it surrounds the future of Pekka. I have no idea. Pekka is an unrestricted free agent at the end of the year. I have no idea if Pekka plans on retiring. I kind of feel in my heart like maybe he does. But here's what David said about Pekka today. Take a listen.
Juice is clearly taking over the reins, but we do place, you know, back-to-back games coming up next week. We do play, you know, a series of three and four and six, those type of situations. And I think we're going to need both goaltenders. But again, it's, you know, it's inevitable that it's eventually going to be Pekka's last year. And I'm clearly not saying that it's going to be his last year this year. And I'm looking forward to talking to Pekka after the season to see what he wants to do. But you know, at his age and where he's at versus where Saros is, I mean, this is the natural progression. And
so my head popped up when I heard him say that, because it was like, you know, hey, it's inevitable. It's Pekka's last year, and it's Pekka's, you know, I'm going to want to talk to him at the end of the year, but it's almost like he took a step back, right? Like he realized what he said maybe, and then was like, well, you know, I want to talk to him at the end of the year. I don't know. What do you think, Caroline Fenton? When you hear that, do you think that he is letting the cat out of the bag and then realize, we got to talk to Pekka at the end of the year, and or do you think he really just meant, hey, it's Pekka's last year of his contract, we'll talk to Pekka at the end of the year, we'll see where things are, or what do you think?
I think that, you know, if they were totally sold on extending Pekka's contract, then he wouldn't have said that. I don't think it means yes, 100% positive he's going, this is Pekka's last year. I don't think you can read too far in between the lines, but I think it is very interesting that he did mention that because they have thought about that. He wouldn't have said it if they hadn't actually thought about, okay, if this is Pekka's year, what would happen? But I'm going to actually ask that question to you. Is it really the worst thing if this is Pekka's last year? Do we feel okay with UC Saros being the guy?
Well, I mean, I don't think we really have much of a choice. I mean, you know, look, Pekka is 38 years old, and he's clearly not, you know, his game has clearly fallen. You know, he's not the same guy that he once was. I mean, I still believe in him, and I still think the team, you know, can rely on him. And if Saros is playing average hockey in the playoffs like he did last year, I have no problem with them flipping the keys to Pekka in the middle of a playoff series. No problem at all. But I do think it's Pekka's last year. You know, I before I even heard that today, I thought it was Pekka's last year. And I have no sourcing on this. I thought it was Pekka's last year. And then when I heard Poile say it today, the way that he said it, it was almost like he let the cat out of the bag, but then he wanted to make sure that he covered his bases, you know, by saying, you know, I want to talk to Pekka at the end of the year. Because if he just says, well, yeah, you know, it's Pekka's last year, so this is the natural progression of things. Now Adam Vingan's writing an article about it. It's getting picked up by all the Pierre Lebruns. And now it becomes Pekkarinen's last year. I think Pekka should sign for one more year. And this is going to be totally selfish with what I'm about to say. I think Pekka deserves a season with full buildings where the fans can truly honor him in that last season. And if Pekka comes back next year at 39 years old, I think his play will be rather similar to what it is this year, which is that of a backup goalie. But I do think that the fans should be allowed to honor Pekka for an entire year. Like, there should be like a goodbye tour for Pekkarinen. That's all I'm saying. Text 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Kind of been all over the place with the win last night. Matt Duchesne scores. Now this, what is in the text line, Caroline Fenton?
Troy texted into the text line. I thought this was interesting. In reference to Duchesne, he said, a broken clock is right twice a day. Now, I'm not going to go as far and say that Duchesne is a broken clock, but it definitely is pretty indicative of the public perception of Matt Duchesne at this point.
I'll say this. You know, Matt Duchesne scored that goal last night. I'm not sure how much Matt Duchesne had to do with the scoring of the goal. Like, if we're just being completely honest. But I plan to be a little bit more optimistic here. Something that often doesn't come from me when it comes to the Predators. I'm going to be more optimistic here. I'm going to say that this is the start of something. It's like, you know, a guy's in a slump, a hitting slump, and he just needs a ball, and it just hooks right inside the foul line, and it's a double in the corner, and now he's rolling. When I was a junior in high school, I played baseball, and I was on the bench, off the bench, on the bench, off the bench, off the bench. You know, I was really fat, but I was a power hitter. And so we played at Webb out in Bellbuckle, and it was the night of prom. I don't know why our coach scheduled a game on the night of prom, but it was the night of prom. And I didn't like me. Like, I went to prom, but it wasn't like a big deal for me. But the seniors were like, oh, you know, why are they going to schedule a game on prom? And so I think I was hitting like third in the lineup that day because the seniors had to get ready for prom. And I just went nuts. Like, I want to say I was like 3 for 4 with 2 doubles. Now, Webb doesn't have a fence, or at the time they didn't have a fence. I don't know what they have now. I hit a ball so hard that I think it would have left like First Horizon Park. But they didn't have a fence. So it ended up being a triple.
Roughly high in yourself.
Well, I mean, like, you know, I mean, I hit home runs in high school. This is not like a, you know, something that didn't happen. So it's not like it wasn't possible for me to hit a home run.
First Horizon Park.
Yeah, but I mean, like, what's a high school? What's a high school stadium? Like 340?
I don't even know.
You know, so what's First Horizon? Like 320 down the lines? Like, I think it would have left First Horizon Park.
Okay, I'll give it to you.
So, anywho, like that triple and then a double and then like that day got me started. I think it was the same day the Titans drafted Chris Johnson, but I could be wrong. But that's what really got me started, you know, that, and I had a great end of my junior year. I hit a grand slam in the state tournament, like just everything. I mean, it was, I mean, I caught fire at the end of my junior year, but it was that day that got me going. And I am optimistic that last night was what gets Matt Duchesne going. The texter's probably right, but I'm going to go with my gut on this one. What else we have in there?
Also in reference to Duchesne, one texter says the fact that Duchesne did not stand up for himself when he was cross-checked numerous times by Duncan Keith late in the game tells you everything that you need to know about him.
He's not a glove thrower. He's not going to chuck him, and he's not going to. I don't think
that's necessarily fair.
When I see Duncan Keith cross-checking a bunch of people, I think somebody else has got to come to Matt Duchesne's defense. Now, I understand. Look, Duchesne's a veteran guy. Sometimes you got to throw the gloves off. Sometimes you got to protect yourself. Sometimes you got to fire one back. Sometimes you got to – I get it. That part doesn't bother me. Like that doesn't bother me. Now, if they went after – say Tolvanen was in the lineup, and they're on the same line, and they went after him, now I need Duchesne to go up and do something.
Right.
But not when it's Keith cross-checking him. And I just don't believe at this point in the year you can start playing eye for an eye. This is how hockey works. You got a problem with a guy, you take it out next October. That's when you take it out. You don't take it out in the playoffs. And right now, you're playing playoff games.
Another texter said, while I think that last weekend was a reminder that the Hurricanes are a legit contender, I still have no doubt that if Forsberg and Tolvanen are healthy, that they can go toe-to-toe with them in a series. I am not going to say that I disagree, but I also don't know if I agree 100%.
I mean, you can't say no because there's no proof that tells you, hey, if these guys go in there, it doesn't make much of a difference.
It definitely, I think, would help, but I don't think that it's going to make a complete – it's not like this team's going to make a complete 180 and blow Carolina out of the water. You can't put that much stock into Forsberg and Tolvanen, but I definitely think that having them in the lineup, having them in the power play would make a difference.
Would it, though? I mean, like, a difference? Like, what is a difference?
I think that the Predator, if, and this is completely just
subjective,
based in no fact whatsoever, but in my opinion.
But so is the take from the caller, though, or from the texter. Like,
yes.
That opinion is, like, that's what used to get me all worked up in the 2019 season. So they won the President's Trophy in 2018 because they wanted home ice. They lost at home to Winnipeg, so then home ice didn't matter, and they kind of put their feet up for most of the 2019 season. And the fans, the power play was a mess, and the fans just believed that, you know, they'll turn it around. You know, playoff season, they'll flip the switch, they'll be good to go. And I remember at one point saying, oh, fine, you can believe whatever you want to believe, because I can't tell you what to believe. And so that's how I kind of feel about this. You want to believe that they can beat Carolina with Forsberg and Tolvanen and Fabro in the lineup? Fine. You can believe it. We'll probably get to see. But you can believe it. You can believe it, and you go on your own way, and I can't tell you you're wrong because you could be right. I mean, I think I could argue that if, you know, LeBron James decided to go play for the Grizzlies, that they'd win the NBA Finals. I mean, there's no way to disprove that. So that's how I feel about the broad spectrum. I don't like the injuries as a crutch because everybody has them. They didn't play with Tara Vinen. But Tampa Bay's not playing right now with Stamkos, Kucherov. They didn't play with Vasilevskiy on Tuesday night. People still celebrated that. So I guess I'm not much for the injury-making excuse
right
front.
I think it would be a smaller margin, but I still think that the Predators would have lost those games.
I still think it's a five-game series either way. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Coming up next, I don't care when other NFL teams do this. I care when the Titans do it. I care a lot. I might be going on a rant here. That's next. Stillman & Company, we're delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 1025 The Game. We're streaming on the Game Nashville app.